Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 6. In verse 9, the Word of God says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." This is something that can happen to believers, that they get weary. Perhaps in a family, perhaps in a church, wherever, in some form of a call. Whatever it is that they are involved in, they get weary in it. The word weary there is enkakomen, to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out, to be exhausted. Literally, this is saying, let us not keep on giving into evil while doing good. Evil and wearying come together. Often if a person is weary, they'll start to get negative. Once they get negative, that is the entry point into kakos, evil. The weariness itself is the result of thinking that is not right with God, but thinking that is inspired by a demonic government. The situation, the condition, the projections often come from the atmosphere, from demonic activity, and they respond to this unwittingly. People will enter into weariness sometimes. What do you do if you become weary? Well, you need to be refreshed. And really, everybody needs to learn how to refresh themselves. Even if we don't enter into this point of weariness, we need to learn how to be refreshed. In Matthew 11:28, the Word of God says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." If you are weary, if you sense this coming on, then the very first thing that you want to do is come unto the Savior. You come to Him the same way you would come to anybody else. You tell Him about it. Lay your complaints at His feet. Say, "Jesus, let me tell you about what's going on. Let me tell you about how I am feeling. Because you are the one who can help me with this. You are the one who has the solution." And He says, "I will give you rest if you come unto me." The number one problem that people have with weariness and many other issues that arise amongst Christians is that they simply don't believe what the Word of God says in childlike faith. They hear it, they'll acknowledge it, but they will not appropriate it. They won't implement the definition from the Word of God. When the Word of God gives definition, appropriate the definition. Otherwise, the definition is completely useless. When the Word of God gives definition, appropriate the definition. If Jesus is saying, "If you are weary, come unto me," they don't come unto Him. No, sit down in a quiet room and tell the Savior all your issues. Then He says He will give you rest. And He continues there, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Yoke is a shawl that is worn by a student. That's why He says, "Take my yoke upon you. I am your teacher. Take the position of the student and learn of me." In 2 Peter 3:18, we learn of the grace and the knowledge of Christ so that we can grow in it. Come unto me, learn of me, grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you will find rest for your soul. This is what a weary person needs. They are looking for rest. If you are weary, Tell the Savior about it. You can be tempted at times to blame your weariness on your situation or on the people around you. But that's not the source of weariness. So you have to have a solution according to the source. Weariness is an issue of the soul. So you need to deal with the soul if you're going to deal with weariness. The first place that it starts is coming to the Savior and learning of Him. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 5, the Word of God says, "When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." We were once in the motions of sin. Some translations will translate it as passions, but that's not actually the correct translation here either. For the word pathema, motions is actually referring to an inward state or an affliction. We were once afflicted in the flesh by sin. One of the biggest ways that it afflicts us is by work of the law. Now, law there is not speaking of Mosaic law. Law there is speaking about extra biblical standards. It can be a misappropriation of Mosaic law. That's very common. But it can really be any standard that God didn't lay on us. But we've been delivered from this source of standards because we're dead to it. So now we serve in the newness of spirit. The person who is weary needs to learn how to serve in the newness of spirit. We don't serve in the oldness of some standard, even if it is the letter of the Bible. Remember, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. We live in newness of spirit. Newness is the word kenotes, and it means to be in the state of life in which the Holy Spirit places us so as to produce a new state, which is eternal life. When a person becomes weary, one of the issues they're experiencing, and this is why they can be targeted by the atmosphere, is that what they are trying to do is in the old spirit, the natural man. If I'm living in the natural man, even though I'm trying to be religious, even though I'm trying to appropriate the Word of God, I will get weary. If I get weary, it's not the new spirit in me that's getting weary. It's the old one. It's the old man, not the new one. So when we're renewed, we're not renewed in the natural man. God never tries to renew the natural man. Christ crucified the natural man. The natural man is why you're weary in the first place. He's not going to bring him back. In Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections. You could paraphrase it to say, they that are Christ have crucified the natural man with his affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The reason why nobody can manage to bring back their natural man successfully is because their natural man has been crucified. Do not think of this in terms of theology. Yes, it's theological, but it's much more than just theological. This is a practical reality for the born-again believer. You have been crucified with Christ. To try to bring back the natural man is to try to bring back a corpse. Part of weariness is that we try to live the life of a corpse. But it doesn't have life. The only place where we can find life is Christ. When we recognize and accept, we don't have to do this. It's already been done. We simply accept it to be the reality of our lives in order to experience the benefit of that reality. The benefit of that reality is that the life we now live is the life of Christ. This isn't something that we look off at a distance for. This is something that is currently ours. We have crucified the flesh. How have we crucified the flesh? We got saved. With the affections and the lusts. The affections is the word pathema. Again, inward state and affliction. The same word as before. And lust is any desire outside of God's will. So, the weariness, the challenge, the drained quality of some people's lives has already been dealt with because the natural man has been crucified. The desires outside of the will of God that the flesh possessed, those have also been crucified. Now we do live in the Spirit, because that's the only life that exists for the believer. However, if I refuse to walk in the Spirit, I cannot experience the fullness of that life. I'll experience the ultimate benefit of being saved, which means I'll go to heaven when I die. But there's so much more to it right now in the details of our lives. The quality of life that God desires to give us is beyond any imagination, beyond our understanding. And yet how few believers actually experience that kind of quality of life? Well, let me ask you something. Are you experiencing a superabundant quality of life which goes beyond anything you could ask or think? If you are, fantastic. But if you are not, then why not? Christ died to give it to you. He didn't die to give you theology. He died to give you life. Why aren't you experiencing that life? Why aren't you experiencing that kind of richness? Why are you weary if you are weary? If you're negative, why are you negative? Christ didn't die to give you negativity. Christ died to give you life. If you're fearful, why are you fearful? Christ didn't die to give you fear. Christ died to give you life. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You've already been crucified. How do I enter into walking in the Spirit? In Matthew 16:24, Jesus says to the disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It's that simple. Where people get stuck is at the deny yourself part. Stop living in self-orientation. Now, you can say that till you're blue in the face, and I'm sure I'm going to preach it a million times more. I've preached it a million times already, and many pastors have, and as much as pastors preach this, there are still those people, they simply hear but do not appropriate. If you would follow the Savior, don't be self-oriented. Self-orientation is the result of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in our lives. In Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 11. Picked up your cross will come very easily after I stop being self-oriented. Pick up your cross simply means walk into the fullness of life. Galatians 2:20, walk into the fullness of life. How many people out there that are listening say, well, I would rather be weary and negative and down and drained and frustrated and angry and fearful. And how many would say, I would rather have fullness of life? Well, there's a way to go about it, and God gives us that option. God gives us that way. If we would simply appropriate the things that He has given us, rather than simply listening to them, giving them a nod, and putting them down as soon as the message is over. In Ephesians 4:22, the Word of God says, strip yourselves, and I'm reading in the Amplified for this one, of your former nature. The picture is a coat. Take it off. That includes volition. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self. Strip off your former selves. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. The old nature is corrupt through desiring the things that are outside of the will of God, through cravings for those. And those desires come from delusion. They don't come from rational thinking. They come from delusion. If you have 50 people who are delusional, then it doesn't mean they're right. If you have 5 million people who are delusional, it doesn't mean they are right. If you have 500 million people who are delusional, it doesn't mean they are right. If you have 5 billion people who are delusional, it still doesn't mean they are right. Delusional means not thinking in reality. If I'm seeking after things in a manner that is outside of the will of God, or the things themselves are outside of the will of God, it's because I'm not thinking in reality. Then it continues, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerated self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. How do I get renewed in the spirit of my mind? The Word of God says, if I come to Jesus, He'll give me rest, and I will learn of Him, and that will give rest to my soul. So He will teach me of Him by me coming to Him. And then the Word of God also says to us that we do not do things in a manner that the natural man does it. And the Word of God tells us that we deny ourselves, we do not live in self-orientation. I become renewed in the spirit of my mind. To be renewed, you do need to put on a new nature. You do not live like you are still in the world. You do not operate like the worldly crowd operates. You do not go according to natural thinking. How many people will do things just because they're socially acceptable and socially awkward not to. There's plenty of people who sin because of those very reasons. God doesn't give a rip about your social awkwardness. God is interested in your obedience. If God says don't drink, He doesn't give a rip about if that is socially awkward for you. God cares about whether you'll obey Him. If God says don't do things to harm your body like drugs or what have you, He doesn't give a rip about if it's socially awkward for you. He wants you to obey Him. This is something that we need in order to put on our new nature. Sometimes it's pressure of a different sort for gossip or what have you. You need to understand that these things are what weary you. These things are what drain you. Doing it the world's way is draining. Going against what the Word of God says, the definition it gives us, is draining to the soul. We were not designed for those things. A person was not designed to inhale all kinds of chemicals and give themselves lung cancer. A person was not designed to ingest something that puts holes in their brain cells until the brain can rewire itself. A person is not designed to live in self-orientation. Our brain can't handle self-orientation. That's why the first thing they did when they became self-oriented in the garden was to hide themselves from God. That was the complete opposite of what was required and necessary, and yet that's the very first thing they did. Their brain became delusional in self-orientation. Put on the new nature. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See things the way God sees them. Bring your thoughts into captivity in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Force them into obedience. At first it may seem difficult, quickly it will become easy. This is how we get out of weariness. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, the Word of God says, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace may through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. If I want to get rid of weariness, if I want to be refreshed, start thanking God. Sometimes people will say, well, I don't have much to thank Him for. Or they'll get sarcastic and say, should I thank Him for this negative thing? Just start thanking Him by faith. Even if you think, because your vision has become profoundly obscured by your inward gaze, that you have nothing to be thankful for, start thanking Him. It'll force you to look elsewhere. A significant part of weariness is from thanklessness. If you want to be refreshed, learn to be thankful. You learn how to be thankful by thanking Him. In prayer, thank Him. The important thing about thanksgiving is that it prevents self-pity. Self-pity is incredibly difficult to overcome. It is absolutely self-defeating. A person who starts to feel sorry for themselves starts to embrace their own destruction. It is the epitome of fleshly thinking. Self-pity prevents the renewal of the mind, prevents the renewal of the spirit, and then it becomes its own righteous cause. Why should it be that way? And they'll give you all the reasons, but they boil down to self-pity. There's always that element of self-orientation in the reasoning, and it's because the person is feeling sorry for themselves. Don't indulge self-pity. If you want to be refreshed, stop indulging self-pity. Self-pity is draining you. Nobody can be refreshed if they are feeling sorry for themselves. That's like stepping in a tar pit and then laying a concrete block over it so you can't get back out. Self-pity is brutal. It does terrible things to people's lives. Oh, I didn't get my way. They didn't say something nice to me. Oh, this person wasn't very kind. Oh, this person didn't do what I was hoping they would do. And they enter into this childish self-pity. And they wallow in it. And then it becomes their justification. A person in self-pity will eventually, if they stay there long enough, start demanding that other people honor their self-pity. Well, I can't believe they didn't notice this that I did. Why should they? Was it extraordinary? Maybe it was phenomenal. But you know what? So what? Was it the cure to cancer? No, I made this phenomenal pie and nobody said anything. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Maybe the pie was the best that anybody's ever had, but it was a pie. This whole thing of self-pity is utterly self-defeating. If it happens among friends or family, a person who's in self-pity will then start accusing the friends or family for not honoring their flesh. Well, I wanted a bit of recognition, or I wanted this in my life, or I wanted you to do this, and you didn't do it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. The problem with this, and this person in self-pity will not recognize it, is that when they start to require other people to honor their old sin nature, using their self-pity and its expression as a form of manipulation, then what they're actually doing is trying to get someone to join them in sin. You never, in Proverbs 26:4, serve people's flesh. Never yield to the desires of their old sin nature. I'm not saying be unkind. I'm not saying be harsh. I'm not saying be rude to them. I'm saying do not yield to the desires of their sin nature. You will then become a servant of their sin nature. You see, they're already a servant of their sin nature. But just like with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:6, Eve eats from the tree of knowledge, and the first thing she wants to do is bring Adam in with her. And Adam decides to go in with her, join her in the sin, and the fall of all of humanity takes place. Never serve people in their old sin nature. I'm not saying that you're unkind to people just because they're in their old sin nature. I'm saying don't serve their old sin nature. They may hem and haw, they may be pretty upset, they may walk away sulking, whatever it is, they may pitch a fit. It doesn't matter. You're not going to become a servant of their flesh and do well in your life or theirs. Had Adam said no to Eve, humanity would have been much better off. But he didn't. In Colossians 3:10, the Word of God says, "Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, How do I put on the new man? I live in faith obedience to categorical doctrine. That means I need the categorical doctrine in my frame of reference in order to live in faith obedience to it. It is not a difficult thing. It is a freeing thing. Remember, the reason why people are drained, the reason why they are weary, the reason why they are discouraged, the reason why they're disillusioned, the reason why they are so tired of life is because of the old nature. The way to refreshment is to deal with the old nature, putting it aside and replacing it with those things that give them newness of life. One of the most important things is to be renewed in categorical doctrine into practical faith obedience. That in itself is extraordinarily refreshing. The soul prospers and flourishes when a person lives in faith obedience to categorical doctrine. The emotions can go so far in healing because of faith obedience to categorical doctrine. In Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve the flesh and God at the same time. You cannot live in the flesh and live in the spirit at the same time. You cannot live in the old man and the new man at the same time. You cannot think with the old mind and the new mind at the same time. One of the most important things that we can do for ourselves is to learn how to live in correct thinking through categorical doctrine that will then produce a renewed life in us. In Galatians 6:8, the Word of God says, "He that sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting." Let me ask you, what do you want in your life? Do you want life that has an everlasting quality, the life of Christ, the quality that God has in His life that He offers to you? Do you want that? Or do you want a corrupted life? A life where there's constantly an issue, constantly a problem, constantly a schism, a life that's constantly discontent. What do you want? Well, sow to whatever it is that you want, and you will reap what you have sown to. Sowing to the Spirit is vital if we are to be refreshed. How do I sow to the Spirit? The things that build me in the Spirit of God starts with the Word of God, yes, but other things. Fellowship with Spirit-filled, godly Christians, people who are doctrinal, who know how to think with God. Prayer. Utilizing the promises of God in your life. You look at a situation, you don't look at the negativity of a negative situation. If the negative situation comes before you, you look to the promises of God and you answer the situation with God's promises. That's sowing to the Spirit in your life. Very frequently, weariness comes because of relationship issues. Maybe they have a problem with their children, or maybe there's a problem in their marriage, or maybe there's a problem amongst their friends or other family members. And they enter into weariness because of relationships. And so they need refreshing. The things that we talked about pertain there too, but also in Galatians 5:13 in the B part, "By love serve one another." By love serve one another. If my weariness is coming from relationship issues, then my weariness at its source is the result of a lack of love. We may not consciously be aware of this. In most cases, I think people are not aware of it. But ultimately, that weariness is the result of a lack of love. By that, I'm not talking about emotions. By that, I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, love. There's either a lack of patience or a lack of kindness, and that can result in weariness. But also, if I seek my own way in relationships, and I'm not getting it, but actually, even if I am getting it, it will result in weariness. Thinking evil in relationships will cause weariness. But 1 Corinthians 13:5 tells us that love thinks no evil. Being puffed up in relationships will drain us. We won't appreciate people when we are puffed up against them. There will always be some criticism of them when we are puffed up against them. Sometimes people are afraid to love. They think somehow that they will be either hurt or disappointed by the other person. And this is a common problem. But the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. If I am afraid to love people because I think I will be hurt or I think I will be rejected or in some way disappointed, please understand that God is not giving you that thought. That is not from the Holy Spirit. That is from another spirit. That is a projection very commonly. And it is not a godly thought. It is not of God, nor is it truth. And even if people have hurt you in the past, all things are for your sake. And that is a part of that all things. You may not understand how it works together for good today, but eventually you will find that indeed it had worked together for good. Matthew 25:40 says, "Verily I say unto you," and this was Jesus talking, "inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." And then verse 45 says, "Inasmuch as you did not do it unto the least of these, you did not do it to me." When we love people or when we serve people, we love or serve one person, not many people. And in serving and loving the Savior, the one man, all people are loved and serve. When you interact with people, your interaction needs to be for the sake of the Savior. Usually we try to have interactions and we focus on the people because we say, well, our relationship is with the person. Then when that person does something we don't like, we're unhappy with them. Or we get hurt by them. When we interact with people, we interact with them as though they are the Savior and they're in His stead. That what I say to somebody touches the Savior before it touches them. That if I am kind to somebody, I am kind to the Savior before I am kind to them. Likewise, if I'm unkind or impatient, I'm unkind or impatient toward the Savior before I am unkind or impatient with them. It is all for the sake of the Savior. How is it that somebody can, let's say, be very kind and patient to somebody who's treating them absolutely horribly? Because the person that is treating them so horribly is not the issue. That person is not even the target. Really, you are a human, I am a human. How can I possibly even begin to target another human? We're separate if we think in those terms. But we are the body of Christ. And so our interaction is an interaction with the Savior. If you are weary in your relationships, let's say, or in any sort of a interaction with other people, recognize that your interaction is not in truth with or for the sake of that person. Your interaction is with and for the sake of the Savior. Don't worry about what they are doing per se. Consider what is the heart of the Savior? What is the desire of the Savior? What is the thought of the Savior? And act on that. That may mean that you don't say anything when the natural man is very tempted to speak. And that in itself can be an expression of love. We operate because of the Savior with other people. And so, we treat them as though what we are doing to them, saying to them, the way we respond to them, whatever it is, we do it because we're doing it to the Savior. Not as if we are doing it to the Savior, but because we are doing it to the Savior. Matthew 25:40. Whatever I say, whatever I do, whatever I don't say, whatever I don't do, it's to the Savior. In 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one toward another without grudging. Grudging is an expression of weariness. As every man has received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Two things here. You have two gifts. One would be a spiritual gift and one would be a gift of grace. You've received a gift from God. Use it. Weariness frequently comes because when we receive a gift from God, we don't use it. You received a gift from God, use it. A person might be called to be a soul winner, and they have the gift of evangelist, and this is one type of gift. But they don't evangelize. They don't get out there on the street, talk to people in person, yet they have a gift for it. That person will become weary by not using their gift. Let's say a person has a gift in prayer. They're a gifted prayer warrior. But they don't pray. That person will become weary from prayerlessness. Because they're not using their gift. You have a gift of edification or a gift of helps and you do not use it. You will become weary from not using the gift God has given you. But then also, He's given you a measure of grace, manifold grace, many-sided grace of God. Use it. Use grace. Use it. What does that even mean? Think in terms of grace. Speak in terms of grace. Act in terms of grace. Reflect in terms of grace. Use grace. If you do not use grace, you will be weary. If you are weary, utilize grace and all that grace is. And if you don't know what grace is, go into the archives and look up messages on grace and listen to as many as you can. Find all the passages in the Bible that speak of the grace of God and masticate them, meditate on them as much as you can. Use the grace, and then what you have learned, appropriate. Don't just learn for the sake of learning. Learn for the sake of appropriating. It'll prevent you from getting weary. Use what God has given you. In Jeremiah 48:11, Moab, and Moab is a picture of the old sin nature, has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his lees, and he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his scent is unchanged. The old sin nature has been unchallenged. That person has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. They've never taken on a ministry. They've never taken on outreach. They've never taken on investing in people. They've never taken on loving people. They've never taken on somehow pouring their life into somebody else. Neither has he gone into captivity. That means that God wasn't even able to discipline this person because they wouldn't have the capacity to handle it. Sometimes the trials that God brings into our lives, they look like difficulties, but what they really are is like sticking a pole under a rock so you can pry it out of its place. Because when that happens, nothing changes in a person's life. It's better than I pour out than that God has to take me into captivity. Therefore, his taste is retained. You know what this is a picture of? Take somebody who has slept for their entire youth. The taste in their mouth, after years of not even brushing their teeth, and the smell that they have after years of not showering, that's what God is comparing it to. Moab has never been challenged. He's always been soft on himself. He's always pampered himself. He's never gone to the point where he'd have to extend his capacity or go beyond his immediate ability. He's never taken a step of faith. He's always played it safe. And the taste is just as rotten as ever, and the smell is just as bad as ever. Nothing in his life took place to bring him beyond that lack of capacity. We need to get to a place that will take us beyond our capacity. One of the best things a discouraged person can do, a weary person, is to start pouring out. Even if you have to go out of your comfort zone, find a way to start pouring out. I'm not saying find a way to start telling people what to do. I'm not saying find a way to start trying to control or manipulate people. I'm saying find a way to start to love people. Find a way to start to edify people. Find a way to start to bless people. And your discouragement and weariness will pass before you know it. In 1 Peter 1:22, purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto love unfeigned. John 17:17, God's word is truth. How do I obey the word of God through the Spirit? Galatians 5:6 says that faith is energized by love. Keep yourself in the love of God. When you keep yourself in the love of God, you receive it in 1 John 4:19, but how do you receive it in practical terms? In Jude 21, you look for mercy. In all things, look for mercy. Now, sometimes people will think to themselves, well, I look for mercy for myself. But that's only half true. It doesn't say look for mercy only for yourself. It's saying look for mercy in every situation for everything and everyone. Perhaps you're getting discouraged. Look for mercy. Perhaps fearful. Look for mercy. Perhaps you are now negative. Look for mercy. Mercy will take you out of negativity. Look for mercy. Look for it for yourself in your situation, knowing that no matter what, you are not condemned, but also look for mercy for other people. You encounter people and they do things that you don't like. Don't look to give them a piece of your mind. Nobody needs a piece of my fleshly mind. No. Look for a way to apply mercy to that person and to that situation, whatever it is that you're in. Look for ways to apply mercy. These things will keep you out of weariness, and if you're already there, they will take you back out of weariness. They will take you out of negativity. They'll take you out of discouragement. They'll take you out of being disillusioned. They'll take you out of being depressed. They'll take you out of being completely run down with spiritless living. Look for mercy. What you'll find is love. You don't have to strive in order to love. In order to love, you just need to get self out of the way and the Spirit will express love through you. Don't be self-oriented. If you sense yourself being self-oriented, you're obstructing the love of God. Cast down the imaginations and high things that bring you to self-orientation. Do not indulge them. Do not tolerate them. Put them out of your mind immediately, and you'll stay out of the way of the Spirit being able to love through you. You'll purify your soul. Purifying the soul simply means removing the corrupting elements. What is the corrupting element? Self-orientation. When we love and we obey the Word of God, and that results in love in us, we're eliminating the corrupting elements. We get self out of the way, we live in faith obedience, and the corrupting elements are gone. And the love isn't pretentious, the love isn't striving or contrived, the love is simply what the Holy Spirit who resides in you is pouring out because you've taken the obstacle out of the way. The beauty of it is then you get to enjoy the love that is passing through you. If a person who is weary simply obeys the truth, gets out of the way by removing self in their thinking, the edification and refreshment is amazing and it is quick. Love is unbelievably invigorating. So look for mercy. Why are people negative? They haven't looked for mercy. And the negativity that comes will take them down this unbelievably draining and exhausting path. If a person's already entered there, then stop tolerating it in your life and start looking for mercy immediately. And if you don't know how to look for mercy, then find all the places in the Bible and listen to these messages on the mercy of God. Read the passages in the Bible on the mercy of God and meditate on them until they permeate your thinking. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, know the God of your father. Know the God of your father. Know the God of your father. What is that? Your spiritual father. There's a God that he knows. He doesn't tell you about Him because you read about Him in a book. That's only where it started, but then he got to know Him. That's why He's a spiritual father. Know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. If I'm serving God and my heart is loyal to my God and my mind is loyal to God, weariness, disillusionment, dejection, they have no place for a foothold. Serve Him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. If you seek Him, He will be found of you. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. You sought me, and you found me, Jesus says. And when you find me, there's rest for you. Know the God of your Father. Learn of me, and you shall find rest for your soul. Know the God of your Father, and serve Him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. Invariably, when people enter into weariness, spiritlessness, they get disillusioned or drained, any number of things that characterize being weary, something happened with loyalty of frame of reference. Heart speaks of frame of reference. Be loyal in your frame of reference, casting down those imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Or something happened with their willingness, and that's a question of self-orientation. They become self-oriented. So what do? You reverse it. You bring every thought into captivity and do not indulge those thoughts that are contrary to the thoughts of God. Just don't entertain them. Apply what you've learned. Don't just listen to it. And then, be willing. If I think that there is something else that I'm willing toward, then I've entered into a delusion that has produced idolatry in my life. Cast it aside. Don't entertain it. Don't hold on to it. Don't keep it. Return to being willing. When you get to this point where you are willing and loyal in your frame of reference, and loyalty in the frame of reference is not just loyalty to God and to simply keep serving Him. It's all the things that bring you there. The love of God, the mercy of God, the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, meditation, all the things that build the soul, those are the things that will take you out of weariness. Those are the things that will refresh you and renew your spirit. When that is in your life, not only does refreshment come, but also abundance of life comes. And you start to enjoy your life with God, rather than simply enduring your life with God. He didn't come for you to endure Him. He came for you to enjoy abundant life. And this is how you get there. Amen? If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, tell Him that you will receive the gift that He's given you, His mercy, and that He has taken your sins away from you. And pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as you come into my heart and live.